lots of wonderful things in the Word of God sometimes. Get into the deep, wonderful mysteries of God, just depending on the kind of atmosphere that we have. And we try to tell about the wonderful things of God. Christians, real, genuine Christians who go through problems and that are trying to live for Christ, they get a longing to go and be with Christ Jesus. I know some people don't have no longing to go to be with Christ Jesus because they don't really believe they're going to be with Christ Jesus. They don't really have that conviction, so you don't find them longing to go anywhere as to leave this world. They had, they tell you right away that they love the Lord and that kind of thing, but if it's all right with Him, they just soon stay around just as long as they can. But real, genuine Christians don't feel that way. They really have a desire to be with God. As a matter of fact, in the book of Philippians, it's where Paul said in the first chapter, in the 23rd verse, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I will abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again." So when you really have God and you know there's a wonderful treasure on the other side and you know the wonderful things of God are waiting for you, then you have that desire to be with Jesus. And Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, whereas Paul spoke of being caught up to the third heaven, knowing of such one, I don't know whether he was in the body or out of the body. He said, I can't tell. But he said this, we know that whether we're in the body or out of the body, we have a desire to please God and to do exactly what the Lord would have us to do. So we're always wanting to talk about the Lord Jesus and talk about the wonderful things of the Lord Jesus. People aren't very spiritual. They're real natural-minded. And when you are serving a God of spirit and you're talking to a natural person, it's very difficult to make them understand. That's why the Bible said that ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God is within you. And if ye have not his spirit, then you're none of his. But when you walk in the spirit, then you don't fulfill the lust or the desires of the human part as to the flesh. But you walk by faith, not by sight, but by faith. You're always walking by faith. You know, you tell people that we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. And that's almost a joke because people constantly walk by sight. They constantly walk by sight. The desire of their heart is what they see. And what they lust after with their eyes, as to the original rendering of the word lust, I said so often, is desire. As to the desires of the things of the life, this life, and the Bible said to make no provisions for the flesh as to the desire or to suffice the lust thereof. 1 John, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. The word Bible indicates collection of books, and in this particular sense, it's 66 books as a collection, and it is books that has been picked out as being authentic as to the Word of God. King James and his regime had men to take this book, translate this book, and so this book, you find Hebrew, you find Greek, you find all kinds of things as to the translation. But this book is the book of books, and it is the printed page of the Word of God that even the monks, God used the monks as among the Catholic Church during the Dark Age to preserve this book, to write it, to preserve it. And these translators diligently compared word to word and translated it, and that's why I'm a little bit partial to it. I know that there are other things in other books as to this Bible speaking of this is found in such and such a book. And I went back to the scrolls that this Bible speaks of that's not listed with the 66 books. And I found in the book or books of those scrolls the things that this Bible said was found in them. But as to the authenticity of those scrolls, a lot of times you find a lot of mixed up stuff that's just wild and a few things of God that's in there. The book of the Maccabees, you find quite a few things in there. And there's other books, numbers of books that you can read and find different things. Fox's Book of Martyrs has Josephus being an individual in that day that was not a follower of Christ but an admirer of Christ. He wrote that as to the death of the martyrs. And there's just other books like the Apocrypha. These have some great things in them. But this book, as I said, this is the one that King James watched over very carefully. The Lord prepared his heart. And I prefer this book above all of the translations and above all of the new versions of the Bible. Some of the new versions of the Bible is just nothing but foolishness. And I advise you to hold to this book as much as you can to understand it and not cater to the new versions so much, because there's a lot of problems in the other books. We made comparison to this one with Revelation and the revealing of the Spirit, and we made comparison of this one as to the life that's required and as to Christ's life, and of comparison to some Greek and Hebrew and different things here and there, and find that wherever we make a comparison, this book is the right book. And the others, we made some comparisons of those books, and we found out that there is a lot of error. And the Bible said that God has not given us the spirit of error. So then this is the book of books, and this is the word of the Lord. The Bible said in the days of the prophets, the word of the Lord came unto them. And then he said as to us to write the word of the Lord as it comes unto us, put it in a book and send it to the churches. And so it is that it's in a book. It has been sent to the churches, and we are trying to interpret the way that we understand. The Bible is of no private interpretation. There's no need to go to college to study the Bible to try to interpret it. If you want to go to college to study the Bible, that's fine, but it's to be able to interpret, that's foolishness. You can study the rest of your life and never be able to interpret one passage of it. It came by the Spirit of God, and the Bible said it's of no private interpretation. But men spoke this as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost, and it must be interpreted the same way. It must be the move of the Holy Ghost to interpret it. Even when you speak in tongues, it takes the Holy Ghost to interpret it. And the Bible said that the word of the Lord, the things of God, it is foolishness to the natural man. Neither can he know these things, for they are spiritually discerned. For this understanding is higher above your understanding than the heavens is the earth, and there's no way to search it out. And that the intellectuals, as to those that are not born again, the Bible said they cannot even see when good cometh, the eyes of their understanding being darkened, that with all of their years of study and diplomacy, they cannot understand any of it. But as to babes, that is to say them that are born again, or people that are considered babes to the world, in that the world is such highly headed, educated folks, it says that God hath made this revelation unto babes such as are willing to learn. And when it speaks of the mighty as those that are learned as to scientists in the world and money powers and whatever, it said not many of the mighty are called, just few. Find once in a while one of the greats as to the world is called, but most of the time they aren't called. But the Bible said in the preaching of the word that when Jesus preached the word, that the common people heard him gladly. And the Bible said, and salvation is sent unto the poor. All right, so then reading from 1 John chapter 5, if you've got your Bibles, let's read together. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandment. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth. In earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life, for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. All right. It says over here in the book of John, the first chapter, the ninth verse, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partakers of his evil deed. So then we see that, as the Bible has said, that if we have not his Spirit, then we're none of his. That means that we will not abide in the doctrine. Or if we do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, that is the proof that we do not have the Spirit of Christ. Because the Spirit of Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says, and I must be about my Father's business as to the day of Christ Jesus. If the Spirit is in you that raised up Christ from the dead, he shall by his Spirit quicken your mortal body, and this Spirit within you, this proves that you are his. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. So he said here, if we abide in the doctrine, then we know we have the Spirit. All right, so God has given us the Spirit of his Son to fulfill the law within us, even the righteousness of the law by which we are saved. He says here, and this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. When we say, and this is the thing that we know of him, as to ask of him and receive, it is saying that if we ask according to his will, therefore if we are to get what we desire to have, then we must ask according to his will. If we are to receive when we ask, then we must, of course, know his will. Or how can we ask according to his will if we do not know his will? This is the beautiful thing about the minister. He is sent to you to explain to you, to tutor you, to make you to understand the will of God. And to say the least, that the will of God is his word. The word of God is his will. Jesus said, as it is written of me, O God, lo, I come. For in the volume of the book as it is written of me, to do thy will. Well, that is in the volume of the book of the Old Testament. The writing says, and he will come, and he will do the will of God. And then if we want to look at it as to the Bible speaking of Jesus being made the word, even God being the word, then Jesus is the volume of the book as to the word. For he is the volume of the book to the fulfillment of all prophecy, because all spake of him. That's why I remind you so often, he's told the Pharisees and scribes that you think you have eternal life, but you need to search the scriptures, for these scriptures or these are they that testify of me. As I said, as I say again as today, these that testify of God today, they have the Spirit of God within them. So he said, if we ask according to his will, and we know that the word is his will, therefore if God sends a preacher, the Bible said, how can they hear lest they have a preacher? How can he preach lest he be sent? He that God sendeth will speak God's word, and if he stands in the presence of God, he will cause the people to turn from their sins. In that faith is by the hearing of the word, and faith is our justification, is to our cleansing, our translation of his spirit is the purging of our heart. As to that sanctification, then that means as to the word, that's what we're looking for. God is the word God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word came forth. He put on flesh, dwelt among us, beheld his glory, as of that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we know that he is the God word of the word God. So then when the word says something, we don't doubt it, because that's God. And when we believe, then we've believed God. And therefore, the word goes into action for us. That is God. For the Bible says that God sent his word and healed them. Or that is God, as the great spirit came forth, made himself a human body. And as that word flesh, he healed us. As in that day, as to humanity. And in this day, he is still being made flesh. As the spirit of the word comes into our heart. And through this body, he makes us to be healed and to be saved. And I'd like to border just a little bit on a thought or two that might agree to your thinking, it might not. A lot of people, if it doesn't agree with their thinking, they just kind of cast the thing out and they don't pay any attention to it. But that's not the way to do it. Take it, catalog it. If it doesn't fit your thinking, if you can't make it fit, don't try to act on it if you don't understand it. Of course, you can't believe it if you don't understand it. So don't just throw it aside, but take it and catalog it. It's like a person with a loaf of bread. They might have a loaf of bread and they might be hungry for 3 slices for breakfast. And when they eat, they're full and they could just loathe bread. You know, they just feel like they don't want any more bread and they could pitch it out the door. But we have to be careful, because noon is coming, dinner is coming, supper is coming, and the energy is going to be used up and we're going to find ourselves in want of bread again. So the better thing to do is just lay the loaf aside and wait for the appetite again. So then when you get filled up, just lay everything aside, keep it, hold it over in your heart. Don't pounce on the preacher and on the laity and on the church and be a fool and criticize. Don't say it's wrong and I'm not going to have anything to do with it. Don't do that. Just relax in God, take it and keep it. Go over it, think about it, and then if it reveals itself to you, and then you come to understand it, take it and use it. Eat it. It's the bread of life. And if you can't find that it's the truth, and it doesn't prove out to be the truth, then reject it and do away with it. All right, so that is to say the preaching. Now, here's something that might help you. It says here that if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. That is, it is the result of unbelief. And there is a sin not unto death. All right. So then there is a sin that is unto death. One way you can sin unto death is that when you come to the knowledge of the truth, and then you reject the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour the adversaries. For once you have come to the knowledge of the truth, and then you reject it, it is impossible to renew you again unto repentance, seeing that you crucified a Christ afresh and put him to an open shame. Therefore, leaving the foundation of repentance, seeing that God is not going to be able to renew you over and over to repentance, then leaving the foundation of repentance, the Bible said, let us go on to be perfect, or let us go on unto perfection. Or Paul said, we wish this, even the perfecting of your faith. Go on to learn the word, believe the word, and made manifest in your mortal genes as this life indwelling, to be made manifest as in the mortal part of you. See, so when I say here as to someone that sins, as to a sin unto death, that's one way you can do it. See, but here a sin unto death is when you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. One word spoken against the Holy Spirit shall never be forgiven in this world nor the world to come. That's why it's so needful that we have charity, for out of the heart come forth evil thoughts of adultery, blasphemy, of fornication, of lying, of murder. And the Bible said, and these are they that defile a person. So we have to be careful about what we give our eyes to and our minds to and our thoughts to, these kind of things. So if you do not see a brother sin, the sin unto death, and he is just a sinner in general, you pray for him and God will forgive him. Now, I know that's frightening when you say that as to the sin unto death, to think, my God, Brother Pike, I thought that the plan of salvation was so great and so mighty that, you know, we could just bobble like a cork stopper on the water when a fish is biting. And we'd still be all right. That we just sin and sin and sin and, you know, we just cry and beg God forgiveness and kneel down and God, he'd just forgive us and that'd be all there was to it. And now you tell me that this is such a, what you would call a flimsy thing, that it just depends on one wrong thought as to express and I'm eternally damned and doomed. And that's, I mean, Brother Pike, someone would say, but that's what I'm telling you because that's the way it is. Though it's not flimsy, but that's how much that he thinks of the Holy Spirit. That's how much he thinks of the sacrifice of his Son. You can say things against the Father. You can actually speak against the Son as to the flesh. But as to his Spirit that's interwoven with Christ, as to the Christ Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, one word spoken against it, and you might as well to forget about it. Eternal life, forget about God, forget about anything else as to a blessing, as to finance, as to health, or anything else as to protection in this life for you or your children or anybody else. Because that ends it. People can pray for you, the preacher can talk to you, but that's forever at an end. That is an eternal doom and damnation. Your doom is sealed. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. That's how much that God thinks of the precious Holy Spirit that suffered the grief at the hand of mankind when they so brutally entreated him and mistreated him till they spit upon him and they'd done all the evil, wretched things that they did. He, in return, decided because they did that to God Almighty that he would put it in such a way that if they spoke one word against him once he raised him from the dead as to the Holy Spirit, then that would be it. Jesus warned them when they said, you've got an unclean spirit. He said, the kingdom of Satan, if it was divided, his kingdom wouldn't stand. He said, he spoke of casting out devils. He said, you say that I cast out devils by Beelzebub. He said, then how does your children cast out devils? They'll be a witness against you in the day of judgment. And if this kingdom be divided, could it stand? And he said, you need to beware because the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. And verily, verily, I say unto you that all manner of sins and blasphemies shall be forgiven you. Blasphemy in any way that you blaspheme, that is to speak against, to attack. But blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven in this world or in the world to come. Which means as to the millennium, there's going to be a judgment even in the millennium as to 1,000 years. So as to worlds, the Bible said in this world be at an end and the old world passed away with water. And then Peter said, you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. As to Calvary and then coming in the last 2,000 years, there'll be another end as to the end of the world. And then the Bible speaks of worlds in the plural, worlds without end. And so there will be worlds. All right. So I say this now to your consolation. There's a sin unto death. Once you sin that sin, there's no need of anybody praying for you because it's forever, eternally too late. This is why that I exhort the younger generation not to go around with their crazy doings and their evil, foolish doings as television gazers, as magazine readers, as to with their foolish talk and their hippie terms and all this kind of things, and as just, you know, lounging around in the world and frolicking and staying up all night, taking dope and drinking and being loose with their tongue, because many of the youth already, see, they don't know it yet, but they've already blasphemed the Holy Ghost and they've already crossed over. And that's why you see a lot of them with these freakish things on their shirt. Our girls with things on their shirt just throwing their virtues to the wind as to say, hey, I'm an old dog, just pounce on me. with their foolishness as they project their bodies as through these dirty, evil things. That I have said things to people about, seeing them on their clothing. And boys do the same thing. But see, you don't know that these are devils. Some of these are devils incarnate. They have already blasphemed the Holy Ghost, and they have seared their conscience, and they have passed feeling. And you can preach to them and preach to them. And when you get through preaching to them, after 10 years, they'll get up and go to the roller rink as to the skating, go to Six Flags, go down to the beaches, strip off, do everything that they want to do. They'll lie, they'll cheat, they'll fight. They'll do anything, indulge in anything, because they don't have any God conscience, any God feeling. And they'll lie and they'll gossip and they'll covet money and they'll go after businesses and all the kind of things that there are in the world. And they'll lust with their eyes and their flesh continually because they are demons. See, they have past feeling. And the bad part about this is they fellowship others. And they say, hey, come and go with me. It's all right. You can repent. You know, you don't have to be afraid. God is a good God. God loves you. I'm a Christian too. You know, with a cigarette hanging out the lips and all these other things, like somebody was telling me a few days back. As a matter of fact, the boy that stood up right along here where Chris is standing the other night that had a little problem. He came to me outside and he said, you know, I was out on my route and I stopped here at this place and some guy was trying to tell me how much he loved the Lord and he was a Christian with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, you know. And these people know better. Somebody said, well, the poor boy just don't know much. You know, he found out about God. He's a good fellow. You need to lead him into the Lord. That wasn't the case at all. The man said that he perceived that the man had had an experience with God, confronted him with it, and he'd had a real, genuine experience to God and had quit serving God and went back on God and fell into a reprobate mind as to that extent. The Bible said, because you have not a love for the truth, when you hear the truth, God will turn you over to a reprobate mind, let you believe a lie and be damned. So then, having come to the knowledge of the truth, not receiving the truth, then God turns you over to a reprobate mind, lets you believe a lie, sends you strong delusions, causes you to be damned. So, that's why the other night that I did what I did when I forced this man to stand up. You didn't know that, but I forced him to stand up because there was a spirit hiding as to what had happened in this man's life a few days before and had gotten hold to this man and was hiding and sitting there and even affected the young lady close to him. But anyway, when I said what I did, I kept on till I forced the spirit to reveal itself. And just as quick as the man stood up like that, the spirit fled. Because when you force the hands of a spirit, it won't face you. And it fled and left the man there trembling and weak and just trying to testify as to his fidelity, you know, as to trying to serve the Lord. Which he came back later and cried and fell at my feet and told me how sorry he was, and so did the young lady. And confessed that it was a spirit, that he knew it was a spirit, that it was the devil himself that was opposing me and trying to hinder the services. But anyway, I said all of that to say this. I don't want to leave you in a state of terror. I don't want to leave you in a state of misunderstanding or terror to this extent that John follows up this statement by saying, though there is a sin unto death that we should not pray for, yet he said, beloved, we know that he that is born of God sinneth not. So then as he said, and there is a sin that ye should not pray for, then he also says that there is a sin that you can pray for and that there is forgiveness for. But he also says that you know and I know that he that is born of God, he doesn't sin to begin with. He that is born of God sinneth not. So then, you're not going to see your brother sin a sin unto death. As to a brother, a true brother of Christ. See, you're not going to see him sin a sin unto death. Because to begin with, he cannot sin, period. See, to sin, you must have a desire to do what you're doing and say what you are saying. And if you happen to stumble and stagger, and you don't have a desire to do that, it is not accounted to you or credited to you as sin, because sin is an act of the spirit. Because there is no such thing as sin in the flesh anymore. God has taken all sin of the flesh away. He died to save all men. Thus he died for the sins of the world, and today he is the Savior of all mankind, and the Bible said especially those that are the household of faith. So then, having saved all men or taken their sins away, it means, as I've said before, that the blood, as to that on the seat of atonement, it is there, and the grace of God as to the rain on the just and the unjust is here to the extent that even the unjust can believe and get their healings. But just believing, though he's made it possible and made it to where light can be there, to the extent your understanding can be enlightened, to where you will come to God as to call on God, yet not having the Spirit of Christ, still you're none of his. All right, so you enjoy this as a reflector. When you have the Spirit of Christ, you cannot be a reflector. That is the indwelling God who is a fire. And from within comes the light of that day star coming forth in your heart. As the Bible saying, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So then it's very evident that you are not a reflector when you're born of the Spirit of God. Now, so we know then that he that is born of God cannot sin. I walk in the daytime. As a rule, I don't stumble. But the Bible said if you walk in the night, then if you're not careful, if you don't have a light, then you will stumble. So then we walk as one that doth not stumble. But in the event that we do fall, we do stumble, it isn't because it is a desire of the heart. It isn't something that we pre-planned. That wasn't what it was at all. And if we fall, the Bible said a good man will fall seven times and get back up. So there's grace for us. And like a man that will fly up and all of a sudden he will abuse his neighbor, he will kill his neighbor. He flew up and he killed his neighbor. He goes to court and then they have a judgment over it and they begin to judge the case. And the judge listens very carefully as to see if this is a premeditated thing. And then when it is brought forth and the lawyer says, Your Honor, this man is not a murderer. He is a man of great reputation, a man that is a fine neighbor. But this man next door, he comes over, he abuses his daughter. He abuses his son. He did something terrible as to abuse his wife. And this man, before he realized what he was doing, out of love and desire, spontaneously attacked and killed this man, not meaning to do that. Then they say in self-defense. So they acquit the case. See, because it wasn't in his heart to do that. And a lot of times you stumble and stagger because something attacks you. Some kind of viciousness, some kind of spirit. But Jesus wonderfully took care of all of that before you and I ever came into the world. By becoming a human body, that is to say, as to the beast part that comes from the first man Adam, he became the beast part. He became the part that had failed from the image of God, the image in which it was made, as to the image of illumination, that Christ Jesus brought back, that had been lost, and the second man Adam brought it back to give it to you and I, to make sure that through our new birth, we were back to our original image of what I'd like to speak about a little bit tonight, not keeping you very long. But anyway, so then we find that of a surety, Jesus dying for our sins, that took away the sins of the world. So the sins are gone. Nobody can sin in the flesh anymore, as in the presence of God, because it's forever gone. He took it all away. Now then, sin is of the spirit. See, it was called sinful flesh, as to the body of this death. And when Christ came into our heart, because we had died by the body of the Lord Jesus, then our sins are forever gone. We're buried, planted in the likeness of Jesus to show that it was us that died and that he became our sins in death, dying out of the presence of God, that we might become his righteousness as the new image and the new birth in the presence of God to live eternally. So we understand then that God done away with sin. And sin is therefore done away with as to the flesh, to the world, for the present time. And this will last until the blood comes off the Sea of Atonement. So right at this particular time, God doesn't see their sins. That's how they get by with all of the things that they're doing. And God did that in the behalf of you and I to wait until this body was changed that we might have grace to our body, that when we stumble and stagger as to a fleshly error, in that it is not of our spirit or of our heart or the indwelling one, then therefore he does not charge it against us, because he doesn't even see it. The body's dead, but the body of the Lord Jesus, and we're forever separated at Calvary, the rending of the veil. Your spirit went to God who gave it at death of your body, but Calvary, as you accepted his death, then you're dead by that body. The spirit went back to God who gave it, and now your spirit is born again, not as the first man Adam, as to the loss, but as to the second man Adam, which is the gain. So then Jesus, the Heavenly Father with him, the great Holy Spirit, God the great Father who is a spirit, said to the Son who is the body, said, come and let us make man in our own image. That is, the great Holy Spirit says, this is my body at the Mount of Calvary. This is my tabernacle. I'm pleased to dwell in this. It was said at the baptism of John. Three tabernacles? He said, no, just one. Even this body, the Lord Jesus. Not as to Moses and Elijah, but this one is the God body. For the Bible said, and the greatest the mystery of godliness, for God, the great eternal spirit, was manifested in the flesh. That is to say, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word come forth, was made flesh. So being manifested in the flesh, he was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, caught up in the heaven. He was not justified in the flesh, because no flesh shall be justified in the sight of God. And though he done everything that it took for perfect justification, a lamb without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. But as in the Old Testament, the little lamb had to give up his life, the little body. As to the body of the beast, burned on the outside, and the inner parts offered as unto God. As to the typical thing, as to before the time of the Reformation. So then Jesus, being altogether perfect, the Lord God of heaven, as to the Heavenly Father, poured out his wrath upon that human body, and would not receive that human body unto a justification, even after he'd done everything that he could. He had to be justified in the spirit to be our example, so that he could say, God could say, and no flesh shall be justified in my sight. And Jesus, even my son, though he was a son, yet learned the obedience by the things he suffered as to death on the cross. So today it's not us living as to the flesh. It's not Jesus living as to that flesh. For we have known him after the flesh, as to sin unto death. But we do not know him after the body that was smitten of God and rejected as the bastard child image. But we know him not as that was delivered unto death by the wrath of God, but rather he that was raised from the dead as being raised up in a new form as the Christ, as to the justification, when he walked along the road to Emmaus, and they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures to us by the way? That is to say, Christ in your heart is your hope of glory, of that glory as to what he was made heir, and he alone being made heir to that glory. All right, so then we realize that today we're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, as to the new body of the Lord Jesus Christ, as to that is not made in the image of sin, but that is without sin. So then the second man, Adam, made a quickening spirit, as without sin unto salvation. So then we find that today we are the new birth. We have now the restoration of the lost image, the image that was there when man was made in the image of God. God saying, let us make man in our own image. And the illumination of God, the great wonderful brightness of his illumination, this illumination upon the image. And then Lucifer, through the mind, enticed this man, Adam, rather through Eve, as to show the first man, Adam, as to the weakness of the woman, Adam, out. from under the Shekinah glory, and Adam became as to the head of the serpent, as to the son of the morning, to be smitten, as to that created in the early morning, as to be smitten. He became the son of the morning, and in that he did, he was an illuminated light, as to the son of the morning. But now, we who are dead in Adam from our first birth, because he fell to the woman's level as to the beast level, in that she gave herself to the beast. Then in Adam all died. But now comes Jesus as to Christ, or now comes as to Adam the second time, or the second man Adam, or that is to say, when the Bible speaks of Adam, it speaks of him as not being in the transgression, but the woman as to the flesh, as to the weakness. To give us an allegoric understanding, she is the one that's in the transgression. So then today you know that you are feminine in the sight of God, because masculine is spirit. And so then that means that as to the second man Adam, he was made a quickening spirit. He came with that lost, glorified image in which man was made, brought that which was lost, now it's found. And you are dead as to the first man, Adam, of that beast body, of that bastard child image that God hates. And now you are raised again as to justification in a new image by the body of the Lord Jesus. Or that is to say, it's not you living, but Christ. Or that is to say, in the garden, it was called the Son of God. Adam, before the transgression, was called the Son of God. And that's why. That is why the terms is used, and that Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God. You know, that's baffling. You say, oh my God, could that be? I thought you started your creation way back in the days of Adam, and so he did. But see, the creation that he started as to make man in his own image was lost. So then it wasn't restored unto Calvary. So all the rest of them fell as to the image of the beast. And Jesus said, and it was mine enemy that came and sold the tares. And he said, and ye are of your father the devil, and his will you will do. Because you're carnal minded and children of this world, with the desire of the things of this world. And so then the Bible states very emphatically, because of this, you are taken to captivity at the very will of Lucifer. The very will of Satan, and he takes you into captivity, because you are a natural born person into this world. You are the instrument of Satan during your whole life as to go after the gullible desires of business and the world and frolics and passions and education and all of the things of the world that the Gentiles or the carnal-minded people seek after. In that the Bible says that salvation is of the Jew, and we that are born again, we are the Jew, for we are the true Jew, as to the spirit Jew, because as of Israel, the Bible said, he that naturally is a Jew is not a Jew at all. That's just a title that's been given him, but the true Jew is he that is of the spirit. All right, so then we understand that this image has been restored. It has come back. We are dead now as to the first body, by the body of the Lord Jesus. Now it is the second body as to the Son of God. So then indeed, Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God, all the return or the restoring of that Son of God that was lost as to the true God image in the garden when Adam dropped to the woman's level and became the feminine part. Now we've come back to the masculine part. Now this is something that we need to consider. There's a lot of things we'd have to say. It would take hours and hours and hours just to go into a little of it to detail it. But we must consider this one thing. And that is, in the beginning, God, who is a spirit. A lot of times I say in the beginning, which means Genesis, or Moses who wrote Genesis as meaning beginning. And when I say beginning, I'm speaking of the beginning of you, not the beginning of God. God hath no beginning. God is from everlasting to everlasting. Before the world was, he said, I am. So we realize then that God is a spirit. And sometimes I say then, what about before the beginning? We say, before the beginning? Well, the Bible says, as to where was you, Job, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God leaped for joy, when I laid the foundation of the world. See, or Jesus said, Father, restore unto me the joys that I had with thee before the world ever was, before the beginning. See, so we realize then that when the great Heavenly Father came forth, having made the garden, which we don't have time to explain those things, having made the garden, when He come forth, then He said as to the Spirit, "Come, Son, let us make man in our image." Because Jesus was the image of our. That is to say, God is a Spirit. He dwells in His fullness in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that Jesus is the express image of the Heavenly Father. We say we sent it Federal Express. It is the given image or the express image, or that is God expressed Himself within the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus declared God in that God is a Spirit. And the Bible said that the Son dwells within the bosom of the Father. So in that the Word was in His bosom, so is your Word in your bosom. The Son was in His bosom, and the Word came forth, was made flesh, and thus God in His fullness works all things throughout eternity through the body of Jesus. Will not approach anything except through there, and nothing can approach Him except through that, and no man can come to the Father except by the Word as to the Son, and you cannot get to God any other way, and the Father cannot get to you except through the Son. I am the door, I'm the gateway, as between heaven and earth I have opened the way, as to shepherd this is the way. All right, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. No man can go unto the Father but by me. I alone dwell in the light, the great light, even God, the great Spirit, the great understanding that is. I alone dwell within that as the knowledge of the Word. No man dwells within the bosom of that light but me. And no man can approach unto that light. God cannot be seen, whom no man has seen or can see, because even as scientists say, you cannot see light. And even this bright light that showed forth in the days of Paul, it blinded him. It blinded him. So then, light must be revealed. And of course, we'd have to go in quite a few things there. Some things that we said to the brethren last night as to why these things, as to the contrary, are here in that God has to reveal Himself. But we see then that the great light is there. Darkness, even as you. For ye are in darkness. You're born into darkness. You're among the children of darkness. Your eyes are blinded. And you cannot see anything until you die, and then a new one comes, as to a new life, a new child, a born again individual with eyes to see light, as to a creature of the day. Well, anyway, we just can't go into all of that. So much to be said. A few little things here as to closing remarks. That is to say that now we know that Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God as to the restoration of that image that was lost. And now we understand what God was doing, that God made Himself a human body. He made a world, it all emanated from Him. And then Him being a Spirit, He made a body to relate to all of these acts of creation. That God, who is a Spirit, might dwell in man, and thus man was God. That was the whole purpose. So then God, the great Spirit, made man to be God. So He said, "Come now, and let us be God. Come, this is our image." And Satan, knowing this and being a spirit, seeing the beauty of the act of God, he began to interfere. He enticed the weaker part as to the woman, enticing her when her head wasn't present as to guide and control her, enticed her with the thing that God had forbidden, as to eat of the tree of knowledge. And in enticing her, when she was allured to that by her eyes, as first enticed and drawn away from your steadfastness, as to then desire or lust after, and when lust conceives, it brings forth sin, and when sin is finished, it brings forth death. And so it was that it happened, but was not effective until her husband agreed with it. For as I've said so many times, the Old Testament law is that unless the husband substantiates it to let it be as to his wife's transgression, then God does not count it against her. Jesus coming, saying, "It's not counted against my bride. She's innocent. She didn't know." So He took all of this for us, and we could say a lot there too. But anyway, I'm just wanting to close out here and saying that now then we know that God, the great Spirit, made the world and made man for His body, that He might dwell in man as the fullness of life, that man might be God of the world. Satan, seeing this, wrestled us out of the hands of man through the weakness of the flesh, and took control of the world. And today, he is the prince of the world. And today, he is the God of this world, the Bible tells us. So then he took it from man, and today he is the God of the world, and man is his slave. He has subjected man to his will as an indwelling power, taking control of mankind, and man today is taken into captivity at the will of the devil. So the Lord has returned as in a human body, even Jesus, saying, fill of me a spirit, as to God hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. I am your brother. I am a man, but I am God. I am God. And the woman at the well said, we know that Messiah cometh, he'll tell us all things. He said, I that speaketh unto thee, I am he. Then it was said, lest you believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So then there it was. It was a man, and yet he was calling himself God. And for what good work? Not for a good work, but ye being a man, make yourself God. This is the thing we're upset over. But the thing that they overlooked was the virgin birth. See, they did not believe the virgin birth. Had they believed the virgin birth, that one thing alone would have convinced the entire world. Because no man before or ever or since has been born as a virgin birth. Never. So he was different. He was so different. He was a man. He was born of a woman. He was made under the law. And as the children were partakers of flesh, born so he partook of the same. So then we realize that he was a man. He suffered as a man. He came down as God in man to redeem back what Adam had lost. Why did he come as a virgin birth? Why didn't he come as to be born to the other? Because in Adam all die. Sin had gotten into the flesh. And in that sinful flesh was there. There could be no reproduction except that which was sin. As the Satan within that bloodstream. There had to be now another blood cell to be made. And to be the second man Adam, he had to be without anything as to a birth of a father. Other than the act of the Spirit. Because when God made the first man Adam, as it would be in the garden, he didn't come by a human father. God made him and brought him into existence. And now here, the Son of God that was made here, he comes back again. Or this time, born within a woman, had to come forth this time as to be without a father, because all had sinned. All of the generations of mankind is sinful, and he alone hath that one blood cell. As to the royal blood and the life being in the blood, then we have to be born of his blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. So then we know that God intended one thing for man, and that is for him to be God. That is why it's so beautiful today. All of us are born into sin. We're born of a woman. See, but wasn't Jesus born of a woman? So is that sinful? Absolutely not. The Bible said, and a woman shall excel a man, compass a man, and her seed shall bruise the head of the serpent, and he shall bruise the heel of her seed. And a woman doesn't have a seed. Therefore, it's very obvious that in the woman there is no sin as to the birth. And yet the sin came by the weakness of the woman. But the confirmation of sin was that of Adam, bringing him to the level of the woman, as to the carnal mind of the serpent to become the head of the serpent, and in him the educational system of the world, and in him all die. And we know really and truly that it was Cain had to do with him. But as to humanity, this comes forth. As from the loins of a man, there come forth both Jacob and Esau. Which means there is both within the human flesh. As to the woman, there's born the twins. Which is again Jacob and Esau. So we then know that there comes forth both. As to good and bad, death and life. So we see it had to come through one. Not as this thing that they've gone about, the serpent seed, this kind of thing. They got that all mixed up. But anyway, coming to this, then we realize that God's intention was for man to be God. So we realize that the new birth, as to the death of the first, he's done away with. And that is as to the seed of a man, even through Adam of many things I'd love to explain, but I can't do that. That is, I can't do that in a congregation like this. But the thing is that he died. In him all died. The axe was laid under the root of the tree. That tree was cut down. It's the tree of knowledge all the way back to Calvary. Now the tree of life is here, as in Jesus, the green tree. We are now the trees of life that bear fruits of life. So then now we are of a virgin birth. We are of a virgin birth, not as to a harlotry thing, as to our first birth. But we are now born within Christ Jesus, or not as an earthly woman, but we are as to divine conception, this Christ within this body of the beast. He is on the inside as to a divine conception of God, as to a virginity of sanctification by faith of Jesus Christ. Therefore, as to the divine conception, then it's very obvious that the travailing as to one, with one, until Christ be formed within you, then that is a virgin birth, because that seed comes altogether from God. And then coming, that means that Christ is within you, and it's not me living, but Christ living on the inside of the life I now live. I live with the Son of God. I'm now bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and God now sees me as the change image, as to Thessalonians change. My first image is to that which is dead and buried in God to never be remembered again. And now he's looking at me as that which is resurrected from the dead, as the Christ which is alive from the dead, as the bodily members of him in particular, as to be eternally rich, strong, young, powerful, and filled with the great wisdom of Almighty God, to where death can never bother us, because death is swallowed up in victory. And of course, this is why that you don't have to be put in a casket. Even as Enoch was not. Even as Elijah and Moses was not. Somebody would say, well, don't Moses and Elijah have to come back and taste of death? Yes, because they were under the law. Enoch was not. He was not under the law. But the thing is, do they have to come back and be put in a casket? No. God does not suffer them to be buried in the ground or put in a casket. The Bible said they lay out in the streets openly that the people may see them, because they literally despised them because their message tormented them that dwell on the earth. So they leave them outside, and after about 3 days and a half, then comes the Spirit of God, lifts them up, they're caught up, and they go away again. All right, so we see then God's ultimatum for man was that it would be God in man, and you would be the very body and bone and flesh of God, that you would be, as they said, making yourself God. For this we stone you. But Jesus said, is it not written in the Scriptures that I'm the one that called ye gods? And as I so often say, a dog beget dogs, a man beget man, but God beget gods, and we are sons of God. That's why we cannot die. That's why we're spotless, blameless. Nobody can lay anything to our charge. All right, let's stand together. We could go on and go on, but just saying these few little things tonight by way of explanation and exhortation, the more as we see the day approaching, and to put it on tape, where some that perhaps that cannot learn as fast as others might review this and go over it, and that they might enjoy the wonderful blessings of the hidden manna. For he that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of the revelation, which of course is the hidden manna, even Christ the life. Let's sing a little chorus together. You love the Lord? Great is the mystery of godliness. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Jesus said, them that are without, we preach the gospel to them, but it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. For within the mysteries is hid the translating faith, even the faith of Christ. Contend for the faith of Christ by which you're sanctified. At the sounding of the last trump, the mystery of God shall be finished. Hath here declared to his prophets and his holy apostles. And, of course, 10 and 7, it was declared that the end would come. Six angels sounded. The angels stood on the land and the sea. raised his hand to heaven, swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that time should be no more, that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, and of course 11:15, the seventh angel sounded, and then the declaration was made, now the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. Now has come time to give the rewards. And there was war in heaven, and Lucifer was cast down, and there was no more place found in heaven for him, which means the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of St. John the Divine, it means that now what he recorded as to his writings on the Isle of Patmos when he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos on the little rocky island off of the coast of Asia Minor, there it was thus made known that the last week of Daniel was coming back in. And now that indicated what happened at Calvary, that it was a revelation, and now it would be revealed or made known in that it was allegoric, symbolic. It would be revealed and would be known as the revelation of Jesus Christ, all the revealed mystery. All right, let's sing together. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy. And you raise it just a little bit to me. So at the cross, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. All there's room for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Let's sing the slow chorus. What can I give him of all he has given? Oh, can I give to the Lord? Can you sing that with me? I don't have riches, a mansion, or a palace. Oh, what can I offer the Lord? Can you sing that with me? Earth is his footstool, and heaven is his throne. The cattle on a thousand hills, my Lord already owns. All that I have, it was his from the start. What can I offer the Lord but my heart? Let's sing this little chorus, can we? The holy hills of heaven call me, sing that with me, to mansions bright across the
the sea, where loved ones wait and crowns are given, and the hills fall, keep calling me. This house of clay, it's but a prison, bars of bone, they hold my soul. But the house of clay is gonna burst wide open when the angels say, my spirit I'll take my flight like the mighty eagle when the hills are all start calling me. I see loved ones over yonder, tears are gone and hearts are free, and from the throne my Savior beckons, and the hills of home keep calling me. This house of flesh, it's but a prison, and bars of bone, they hold my soul. But the house of clay is gonna burst wide open when the angels set my spirit free. I'll take my flight like the mighty eagle when the hills are gone. Oh, can you sing that with me? I'll take my flight like the mighty eagle when the hills are gone. Dark purple. Let's sing this chorus. I thank you for the valley that I walk through today. The darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. Found you. Thank you for the valleys walk through today. Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank you for the valleys walk through today. Life can be all sunshine, or the flowers would die, the rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can be all blessings, or there'd be no need to pray. So I thank you for the valleys walk through today. Sing that with me now. Thank you for every hill I climb. Thank you for every lonely night. I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank you for the valleys today. Let's give him a hand, can we? Let's sing the slip post together, can we? Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages flow through our eternity? I ask this question, where will you be? Just one light. From the moment of our birth until it's time to die, God has given us His choice to decide our destiny. In a million years, where will you be? Sing that with me. A million years from now, will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll through our eternity? I ask this question. Course or two just before we dismiss, can you? To worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ into the full measure, the full stature of that perfect man. How beautiful it is to be a Christian. Like the little thing that they printed, they put on the back of the shirts and the coats. Life's Christian adventure. The wonderful adventures of Christ. You know, you might go a lot of places in the world. You catch planes, which are symbolic. They travel across the ocean, which is symbolic. And you travel through lands and you see things which are symbolic. And here we are. We're not symbolic. We're sons of God and we're in another world. And we're traveling into the great wonderful heights, into the great wonderful lands of heaven. And we are seeing these wonderful things, and it's made known unto us the manifold wisdom of God, even the heavenly treasure that we have in these earthen vessels, and how beautiful, how wonderful, how thrilling it is, because it makes us alive forevermore, forevermore. Moses spent about 80 days in the presence of God, and after that, when the death angel came, there was a dispute over the body, and we find later that body standing on the Mount of Transfiguration, appearing in glory with Jesus and with Elijah. Well, I looked over the Jordan, and what did I see coming to carry me home? It was the band of angels there coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, the coming. You carry me home. Tell all my friends that I'm coming too. Coming to carry me home. Swing home, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Spin more. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low. Remember what Paul said now. I have a desire to be with God, which is far better, he said.
Carry me home.
So if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming carry me home. Let's lift our hands together. Let's praise the Lord. And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give to Him glory, all ye people. For His blood has washed away every stain. Once again now, can you close your eyes, lift your hand, and we will pray. We will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners. And we'll give Him glory, all ye people. Brother Pasden, if you will, to come and dismiss us. Watch. Can you once more sing that with me as our brother comes? So we will pray.